Today, I want to just share a little bit with you, as you saw today in the announcements about an outreach that takes place in my neighborhood every year, and this was the 11th year that that outreach has taken place. And every time, praise God. And every time that outreach takes place, God teaches me something else. He takes me a little deeper in just my relationship with him. And it's not just something for me, but it's something for the whole community. And I thank God for that. I don't know how many different titles to this sermon, but it is what it is. I'm just going to talk about it. And I battle backstage. Should you put your shoes on? Should you stay in? But I'm going to stay in my flats. I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to just talk to you about what God has been speaking to my heart for the past month. And God took me to the book of Acts, the 19th chapter. And I just want to read the one verse from the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19. And it says this: you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this and tremble in horror, in terror. And many times when we go out to minister, and some of you may have encountered this as well, when you go and you share the gospel with someone, you know, the first thing that people will say many times is, I believe in God. I believe in God. But the scripture clearly says to us here that even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. So that tells me that it's just not enough just to believe, but that belief has to translate a little further than just us believing. It has to also come with a transformation that takes place in us. And what I want to talk about today a little bit is just, I want to compare just things that I've been experiencing this week. And one of the things was God had to kind of take me back to the beginning of everything. And he began to remind me that this whole idea of this particular outreach came from him and that it was initiated by him. And so he began to take me back to the beginning, and he began to remind me of how he first spoke this thing to my husband and I, and how it came from a prayer. And the prayer was, God, how do we reach out to people in our community? And from that prayer, what God began to do is he began to reveal to us his plan. But how does God's plan get revealed to us? And it is by his Holy Spirit. If we look in the book of Acts, the 19th chapter, and Paul came to Ephesus, and he met with some disciples there, and he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And mind you, now then they answered and they said that they had not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And Paul began to ask them, he said, well, what baptism did you receive? And they said, John's baptism. And he said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And he told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hand on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And there were about 12 men in all. And see, they believed in who Jesus was, but they had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we can believe, but there's a next step. Amen. There's a next step. So here we have Paul meeting with the disciples. And now by that time, there were many disciples in different places. And mind you, Ephesus was a place of great mixture. It was a place where they had all of these foreign pagan gods. And there were Jews and there were Greeks in Ephesus. And it was a place of commerce, which meant that there were many travelers coming back and forth with different types of worship and beliefs. It was probably somewhat of a tolerant society like ours today. Even though they did not know who the Holy Spirit was, but Paul knew that in where they were living, the place that they were living, with all the different different things that they would hear, things that would challenge their belief in Christ. He knew that they needed the Holy Spirit to seal the work that Christ had begun in them. In John, the 14th chapter, Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. So he's telling them that he's going to ask the Father to send them a helper who is going to bring them truth. He will be the Spirit of truth. And even though the people around them will not be able to receive that truth, but that they would know the truth. And he said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give to you. So even Paul, when he was talking to these disciples, he knew that they needed the Helper. They needed the Holy Spirit, whom the Father would give them, and that he was going to teach them all things, and that he would bring to them all remembrance of all the things that Jesus had preached about during his earthly ministry. The Spirit will remind them of Jesus. Sometimes, you know, we do things because we believe that it's the right thing to do. But the Spirit of God will convince us of what is true. He'll convince us of what is true. And when we have that personal encounter with Christ, then we can share that truth with others. And this is like my life and yours before we had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And when we have that personal encounter with him and his Spirit begins to live and guide us and direct our lives, then we can say, like Pastor Will said this morning, that we are more than conquerors. You know, because the Holy Spirit is always reminding us, constantly reminding us of the things that Jesus has done for us. He reminds us of the victory that Jesus has secured for us. He reminds us of whose we are and who we are in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. He reminds us that even when we're going through a difficult time, he reminds us that Christ died to give us victory. He reminds us that even if we have to suffer with him for a little while, that we will also reign with him. He reminds us that he is our helper, that he's our very present help in the time of trouble. He reminds us of these things so that while we are waiting or while we're going through them, that we don't become discouraged and despondent and we give up. The Holy Spirit is our keeper. He's our teacher. He's our helper. Amen. And so this past week, God had to remind me. And not only did that, he reminded me that he is worthy of my trust. He is worthy of my praise. And that I can depend on him without any wavering. There's no wavering in him. He reminded me of that as well. Because every time I looked around, I just kept hearing more and more bad news. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, that reminds us about what Jesus said. And he had to remind me about what Jesus said to us in the beginning of this, of the beginning plans of this whole event, and what his purposes and what his plans were in this whole event. It was that men and women would come to know him as Savior and Lord of their lives. And so as the week went on and I began to look at all of the reports and all the reports of rain and rain and rain and rain and rain. And one day I was praying in my office, and even as I was praying, there was a text, and there was a text about a donation, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. And right behind that text was a text about, what do we do if it's going to rain? And I said, well, God, I'm trying to believe you. I'm trying to have faith. I'm trying to just trust you. But you know what? I had to come to a place of rest. And the place of rest was, God, you know what? You are sovereign, and you can do whatever you choose to do. And if you choose to let it rain, what? You're still good. And if you choose to not let it rain, then God, you're still good. And sometimes in our lives, you know, we're battling and we're asking God for something, and we're believing God for something, and we don't see him moving right away, or we don't see him moving the way that we think we should, and we begin to start to doubt, and we begin to doubt who God is. But God never changes. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we don't have to doubt who he is. We can rest in who he is. And so as I begin to rest in who God was, God began to open my eyes. The Holy Spirit began to open my eyes to see what God was doing around me. He began to take my eyes off of the circumstances, off of the weather reports, off of everything, and he began to put my eyes, to fix my eyes on Jesus Christ and what Christ told me in the beginning that his design was to do. And so as I begin to not look at the circumstances, God doesn't want you to look at the circumstances. He wants you to look at him. He needs you to look at him. He needs you to look at him. As I begin to take my eyes off of the circumstances and fix my gaze upon Jesus, Jesus began to show me some things. He began to show me some things. I was getting calls. They were good calls. They were good things. But because I was looking at the circumstances, it was good for a second, and then it went back to the circumstances. I remember one day I said, Lord, now you just gave us a donation of buns. We needed buns. And it was 120 hot dog rolls and 120 hamburger buns. And it seems funny, but I'm just want to share this with you because I want you to understand how God is. And I said, okay, so that was 120 of each. And then the text that I had received that day, someone called me and said, I got a donation of 200 hot dog buns and 200 hamburger buns. And I was like, thanking Jesus. And then when I would look at the weather, I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, but. Thank you, Jesus, but. Now, mind you, we had a donor who would donate hot dogs and hamburgers to this event every year. But we didn't know how much they were going to give us. So right now I have 320 hot dog rolls, 320 hamburger rolls. And I'm saying, well, just in case we need more, I need to put something to the side, God, so we can make sure we have enough. And so all of that being said, we couldn't pick up that donation until Friday. Do you know when they went to pick up the donation on Friday that the people donated 320 hot dogs and 320 hamburgers? Only God could do that. So that was one thing that God was like keeping a tally for me, going, okay, I did this. And I did that. Now, are you okay? Like, are you going to stop worrying? But still, I don't know. It was something going on. And I just said, God, you're sovereign. And Lord, even though you gave us exact amounts of what we need, you're still sovereign and you can do whatever you want to do. But I'm just saying. I say, God, but I'm just saying, like, why would you do that? And only you can know that. So if you did it, you have to be doing it for a reason. And I just said, okay. And then I began to just say, well, God, give me wisdom. God, give me wisdom. Let me know what to do. I kind of felt like Noah, even though, but Noah was saying it was going to rain. And I was saying to people, basically, it's not going to rain. So but everybody was seeing the same reports that I was seeing. So it just, the only time I literally saw that it wasn't going to rain was 3 p.m., 1 hour in the whole day. But God said, don't look at that. Look to me. What am I doing? What ways am I making? What ways have I already made? You know, there's something, I want to read this story to you, because this is something that God really used to speak to me. This is in Acts, the 19th chapter 2. And it starts at the 11th verse. And it says, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had been touched, had touched his skin, were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on him, mastered all of them, and overpowered them. So they fled out the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews, Greeks, and fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord was extolled. And when I read this, I was excited. And I'm going to tell you why. I was excited because here we have these men who walk around and they say that they know God. They say they know, well, they don't actually say that they know God, but they were doing a practice, walking around, doing exorcisms, and they were supposed to be powerful men. And the whole city revered them as being these powerful men. And they began to mess with someone that they really did not know. And they thought because they saw somebody else do it, that they could just do it too. And this spirit spoke out of this man and he said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I recognize, or I'm familiar with Paul, but who are you? And God began to speak to me, and he said, listen, listen, you know me. You know me. And what you're not understanding is that I am God. In case you forgot who I am and the power that I have. In case you forgot that I am God over the land and the sea, that everything that I created must obey me, and you, for some reason, are worrying about the weather, and you're looking at the forecast, and you're starting to put your faith in these people, like these people here began to put their faith in these men, feeling like they were powerful and they had the ability to predict or to cast out these demons. God said, no, 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 no. You have to remember who I am and that you know me and that I am in control. That I am in control. Even in your own situation, you have to remember who's really in control over your house, over your kids, over your husband, your wife, on your job. God is the one who's really in control. Even though the enemy, the Bible today, Pastor William talked about us being sent out as lambs among wolves. Listen, just because the enemy is defeated doesn't mean he doesn't act like a you. But the Bible lets us know that we have Christ. And if we have Christ, that he is more than the world against us. And that he reigns. Christ reigns. Christ reigns over your situation. He reigns over your finances. He reigns over your addictions. Christ reigns over everything that comes as an obstacle in your life. He reigns over your unbelief. Christ reigns over it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's my keeper. He's my Savior. My God, my God. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God reigns over everything. Everyone. Everyone. Even when you have to go before people. When you have to go before people and you're afraid of what the outcome may be, Jesus reigns. God would give you favor that you don't even understand. You can't even comprehend it. I'm a witness that he'll do it for you. Hallelujah. People will turn around and do things for you. You don't even understand why, but because God is in control. And he holds the hearts of leaders, of kings in his hands. God is in control. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. At the end of it all, God's main purpose that Saturday was that men and women would know him. It was that men and women would know him. The only thing that God spoke was just say, push your setup time back 2 hours. And so that's what we did. And like Pastor Will said this morning, sometimes you don't have to know everything. You don't have to know it all. You just do that one thing that God asks you to do. Because he's working. He's working. You know, and we did the one thing that God asked us to do. By 10:30, the rain had stopped. By 12 o'clock, the street was open, it was sunny, and people came out because God was in control. But let me tell you one other thing. At the end of this passage of scripture, it says, and this became known, what? To all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord was exalted, extolled. At the end of it all, at the end of it all, Christ became known to all the residents. Let me tell you something. I have people in my neighborhood that they're not Christians, but it's a place where I know that God has a heart for each and every person in that community. And the thing is that every year, for three years, it has been this issue with the rain. You know what happened? This year, I'm battling with unbelief or whatever I'm going through. I went, one of my neighbors, he said, yeah, it's supposed to rain. I said, yeah. I said, yeah, it's supposed to rain. He said, yeah, but you know, it happens every year. You know what happens. The rain stops and everything is fine. What is God doing? God is showing himself to a community. Now, we can plan. We can have the choir. We can have cotton candy, popcorn, hot dogs. We can have whatever we can plan to do. But one thing we cannot plan is the weather. We know we can't plan the weather. They know we can't plan the weather. And it becomes apparent to everyone around. Just like when these men tried to cast out their spirit and it jumped on them and ripped up their clothes and left them naked running through the city. Just like it became apparent to everyone that was around that Jesus is real. Amen. I bet you, and every, you know what began to happen? People began to confess the things that they were doing. Ephesus was a place where magic and all of these things were like embraced. It was something that everybody was doing and they would believe in it. But at that point, when they saw that, they said, oh no, we need to get rid of this stuff. We need to get rid of it. And that's exactly what's happening in the community. Is people are seeing God is defining himself. He's making himself known in ways that no one can debate it, can question it. Why? Because only God can control the weather. Nobody can say, oh, well, they did that. Or this is something that they came up with. No, only God could do that. And they have to reckon with that every day. They have to reckon with that all the time. Wow, did you see what happened? Just like these people in this passage of scripture. Did you see what happened to those men? Did you see how they tried to use the name of Jesus and those spirits jumped? They had no authority. God is establishing his authority. He is establishing his authority, letting people know I have authority and I'm the one that gives authority. God has given you authority over things in your life, over things in your family's life. God has given you authority. He is going to establish that authority in your life so that people around you will see and know that Jesus is real. Jesus is real. That Jesus is in control of this thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us God revealed these things, and it was by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except a person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit and not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. If we allow the Lord to just to fill us, to reveal his plan to us, we would be amazed at the things that God wants to do, not just in us, but around us, in our families, in our communities. You know, but if we just allow God to do that, if we just allow him to come in. You know, it felt foolish at some point. It felt foolish for me to keep going forward. But I wasn't moving forward based on my own stuff. I was moving forward based on what God was speaking to my heart. And today, God wants some of you to move forward. He's saying, yes, I know you believe, but I want to give you more of myself. I want to reveal my heart to you. I want to show you my secrets. It said that when his Spirit will reveal God's secrets to you. He wants to share the secret things of his heart with you. And some may feel like I can't do that. Maybe God is speaking to you about something in your community. Maybe you feel like I don't have the funds, I don't have the know-how to do it. But that doesn't matter, because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We didn't have any money to do this the first year we did it, but you know what? God provided. It's just stepping out and just following God. And you may not know everything all at one time, but you just take that first step. That's all. That's all. Obedience. Just That's how, why this church is here. That's why we're sitting here. It was just one step of obedience at a time. One step at a time. And look at what God has done. God may be speaking to you, maybe about something that's going on in your home or something that's going on in your on your job. But if you just give it to the Lord, allow him to begin to direct you, allow him to begin to speak to you. And when he speaks to you, listen and know that you can trust him. Know that you can trust him. You're here today because you trusted Jesus. You woke up this morning because he's worthy of your trust. You're walking around today because he's worthy of your trust. Because he loves you. Because he cares for you. Because his plan for you is good. And because he has a purpose for your life. We can trust him with our lives, with everything, with everything. I'm just going to ask if you would stand today. Thank you.
Okay.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. One of the biggest lies that the enemy can tell us is that our God is not trustworthy. Or that our God will fail us. But he will never fail. He will never fail. He can't. He can't. And so, if you've been battling, if you've been battling with just trusting God, in the midst of whatever you're dealing with, or trusting God for that next step, I'm just going to invite you to come today and believe that God is worthy of your trust and that God will do what he's been speaking to your heart. He wouldn't speak it to you if he didn't have a plan to do it. He's not a liar. There's only truth in him. The only person that lies is the devil, and he can't tell the truth. But will you trust God? Will you trust God and step out and make that next step? Will you trust God with your family, with your children, with your spouse? Will you trust God with your finances? Will you trust God with your addictions or your habits? Will you trust God with those things that you feel like the enemy is telling you he's not going to do it? It's not going to change. He did it for somebody else, but he won't do it for you. It's a lie. It's a lie. God will do it for you. He's not a respecter of persons. He's going to do it for anyone. Anybody that comes to him, God will do it. All he asks is just that we would believe that he would. Believe that he would. And if you have believed, but you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's his Holy Spirit that gives us the power to stand. The Holy Spirit, he comes and he teaches us the things of God. He reveals truth to us. He gives us an understanding of his word. If you need a touch from Jesus today, if you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've grown cold, if you used to be in a place where you believe God for everything, but you find yourself doubting him for everything, come down today and let's pray. Let's believe God together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to just pray with you today. And I know that God is going to do great things, great and mighty things. He's worthy. He's worthy of our trust. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. Hallelujah. He will do it. He will do it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you today, God. We thank you today, Lord God, because, Lord God, you overcame, Lord God, and because you overcame, Lord, we too can overcome. God, we thank you, Lord God, because, Lord, you died not just for us, Lord God, but you promised, Lord God, to be our provider, Lord God, to be our friend, oh God, to be our counselor, Lord God, to be our helper, Lord God, to be our comforter, oh God. Oh, Jesus, you promised to be all these things to us, oh Jesus. And God, today, Lord God, we rest in you. God, give us the grace to rest in you, to lean on you, to depend on you, to know, Lord God, that you will uphold us, God, that you will never fail us, Lord God. Oh, God, that you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother, Lord Jesus. And, Lord God, we never have to question whether or not you will, but you will. God, if you said you would do it, you will do it, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord God, when the enemy comes against us, Lord God, like a flood, to remember, God, that you promised to raise up a standard against the enemy, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you're our defender, you're our shield, you're our buckler, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, Lord God, one word from you, Lord God, and a host of angels will come to our defense, God. Help us to remember, Lord God, in the battle that you're a man of war. Oh, Jesus, and that you fight for us, God. Not only do you fight for us, Lord God, but you promise victory, God. Oh, God, you gave us victory, God. Lord, at the cross, you gave us victory, God. The battle has already been won, God. Now help us every day, God, to walk in that victory that you died to give us, that you rose to give us, Lord God. Oh, God, we love you today. We love you today. But, God, we can't make it. We can't do it without your spirit. Oh, God, we can't do anything, Lord God, of spiritual value, God, without your spirit. So, God, we ask, Lord God, that you would come right now, Jesus, and that you would baptize us afresh, God. God, we need a touch from you. God, we need to be able to stand, God. Having done all to stand, we need to be able to stand, God. The only way that we can do it, God, is by your spirit. God, come, Lord. Touch us afresh, Lord Jesus. Fill us, Lord God, to overflowing. Oh, God, we can, Lord God, reach out to our communities, reach out to our families, Lord God, until you fill us, Lord. God, we can't do it without you, Jesus. God, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would come, Lord God, that you would give us your heart, Lord God, that you would give us your mind, Lord Jesus, that you would give us your eyes to see, Lord God. Oh, God, eyes of faith, Lord God. Oh, God, give us eyes to see people the way you see them, Lord. Give us eyes, Lord God, to see our circumstances the way you see them, Lord God. Help us to know, Lord God, that everything that's going on around us, Lord God, you're working everything together for our good. Lord, we may not understand it. It may not feel good while it's working, but it's going to work together for our good. That we would have a greater testimony of Christ in our lives. Lord God, that we would have greater faith to believe you for greater things. Oh, Jesus, have your way in us, Jesus. Have your way in us, Jesus. God, we ask you and we believe you today. Lord, let your spirit, Lord God, come into our hearts in a greater measure, God. In Jesus' name, fill us with boldness, Lord God. Fill us with boldness, Lord God. Fill us with your fire, Lord Jesus. Let it burn in us, Lord God. Lord God, let it consume us, oh God. Lord, a fire that cannot be quenched, Lord God. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, we receive it from you today, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, Lord God, that everywhere we go, every person we meet, Lord God, Lord God, let that fire be contagious in Jesus' name. We pray and we thank you. We believe you, Lord God, for great victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank
you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank God for that word. Amen. The Lord knows exactly what we need when we need it. Hallelujah. He is our supply. Praise God. God bless you. The Lord is doing a wonderful work. I look forward to testimonies and praise reports of miracles happening as a result of just our obedience and trust in Him as we go forth in His name. Father, thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we do avail ourselves to you. We ask that you would take complete and total control of who we are. God, that Christ would be exalted, that your kingdom would be furthered. Father, we just thank you, and we look forward to it in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.